Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight we want to consider seriously the fact that in the Jubilee, God has decreed not only our release, but our rest. So we come from repentance to release, and from release to rest. Let me summarize the message before I go into it deeply. One of the greatest tragedies that could happen is what happened to Israel. When Israel called on God with a humble heart, he heard their voice, he sent Moses. Through Moses' powerful hand, God brought Israel out. He released them from Egypt in a mighty way. Can you imagine those that are in captivity plundering their captors? Can you imagine those who are in chains plundering their oppressors? What a wonderful way to come out of captivity with gold, silver, and all kinds. They were begging them to go. And God gave them release. But do you know that they rejected rest? But when they got to the point where they were supposed to take rest, they rejected rest. You know the sad thing, eh? Everything I'm talking about is aru, release, reject, rest. Leviticus 25. Leviticus chapter number 25 from verse 8. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you, and ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you, and ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. Father Lord, we have come to you once again tonight, trusting that it is only you. Your presence amazes us. Your presence delights us. Your presence empowers us. Your presence restores us. Lord, we ask, Lord, that it is your presence that will consume us tonight. Lord, as we bask in the glory of your presence, let your word refine us. Let your word transform us. Let your word restore us. Let your word grant us rest. Thank you, Father. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Praise the Lord. Quickly. Right from the Garden of Creation, God had been hammering on the issue of rest. Especially the fact that he would want us as humans to observe rest. In fact, to hammer it in, God himself showed us an example on the seventh day. God did what? He rested. Someone might want to ask a very, very important question. Why did God have to rest? Was he tired? The God of all the earth, all powerful, could he have been tired? No. The rest that God took was first for our example. And secondly, it was a sign of completeness. It showed that his works have been completed. The truth is, the Bible makes us to understand that the works of God have been completed before the foundations of the world were even laid. In fact, everything concerning you, before the foundation of the world, God had designed you for good works. So don't think it was the day you were born or the day they conceived you that you truly came into existence. No. And God kept on in his relationship with Israel, hammering on the issue of rest. You must rest on the seventh day. The Jews had a big ceremony on the issue of the seventh day rest. They will tell you the number of steps you can carry on the seventh day, after which you have now started walking. They will tell you the amount of weight you can carry, after which carriage has now become work. There was a lot of other laws in the extra Jewish writings, the Tanakh, and other writings that talked about the law that has to do with rest. God took this law very important. In fact, the Jews took it very importantly, to the point that they challenged the rest himself, Jesus Christ. They challenged rest. They say, rest, why are you not resting on the Sabbath? Why are you healing? That was how serious God took it, and how serious the Jews took the Sabbath day. But when it came to the Sabbath year, the seventh year, it became a bit more challenging to Israel. Because, I mean, how, yes, you can tell us that from evening till morning we should not walk. Or from this evening to the next evening, we should not walk. It makes sense. We can 24 hours is enough. We can give you 24 hours. But to demand that there will be a whole year in which a nation will not walk. Can you imagine if Nigerians will not work for 1 year? What will happen to the economy? Do you know that we are one of those countries that have the most public holidays in the world? If they are going to award public holiday award, Guinness Book, Nigeria will contend. Do you know the implication on our economy each day that we don't work? That we say, let's take a rest. Let's have public holiday. Whether it's Christian, Muslim, or pagan. And so for Israel, when God now began to demand for a Sabbath year, after 6 years, on the seventh year, rest. He said, we will rest. He said, okay, for the whole year. They said, a whole year. But when God took it to the level of the Jubilee, then it became heart-wrenching. He said, on the 49th year, which is a Sabbath year, rest. Then the 58th year, the year after it, declare it a special Sabbath. Then they said, okay, so what happens? You rest. Can you imagine a nation resting for 2 years? In those 2 years, you will not plant, you will not walk your land, you will not reap, you will not dress your vineyards, you will not harvest. What kind of a God and what kind of demands does he make? He said, but God, we can rest in 1 year. When we rest in 1 year, that's okay. Now, what's the problem? What kind of sleep will we be sleeping for a whole year, and then we will now extend it to 2 years? I mean, what will happen to our land? What will happen to our businesses, our economy, as by the rest of the world? What will happen to the GDP and the, what are those other indices and things that we talk about? What will happen? God said, rest. Don't only rest, allow the land to rest. In that year, Israel was supposed to trust God for what they will eat only. He said, you can only pick from your land. It's your land. But you can only pick from it what you need to eat daily. He was reminding them of how they ate in the wilderness. They were to gather, what is it? Manna. They were to gather manna that they can eat for one day. Some that decided to do ojukokoro and gathered more than they needed for a day. By the time they opened it the next morning, it was turned to worms. It was God trying to show his people, trying to teach them a lesson. Then he made a statement in that passage that amazes me. God now says, you can only eat that which you need daily. You can't store anything. You can't have a barn. You can't have a storage. You can't harvest. Everything you need to eat for the moment is what you can pick from that land. That land you said was yours. Do you know what? Your slave can go there and pick what they need to eat. Do you know what? Your children can go there. Your neighbor can go there. That land that you claim is yours. Every year, you are the one that reaps the harvest. But in this year, anybody can go on that your land and pick anything they need and eat. But they cannot store, including you. Then God said that even the animals, the sheep, the cattle, the goat, the dogs, can go there and eat whatever they want to. You see, in that year, one of the things that God did in the year of Jubilee is that he leveled the indices. I'm still going to talk about that tomorrow. Both the rich and the poor were brought to the same level. And that was a problem for Israel. How will I have to, I that I can sit at a banquet and eat a banquet. I eat banquets every day. I have a big farm and I eat sumptuously every day. God is now saying, pick for the moment and eat. That even my slaves don't eat like that. God is saying, yes, they will eat like that. Let them all pick for the moment. The way your animals will pick for the moment. Just make sure that the land rests. The owner of the land says, let my land rest. And I want my people to rest. It was God's way of reminding them that they were tenants on the land, not permanent owners. It was God's way of reminding them that he was their provider and sustainer. It was his way of calling his people back to remembrance that it was God that was feeding them. It was God that was keeping them, not their might, not their strength. That Israel might know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of their maker. That is part of the essence of Jubilee. God wanted them to rest and remember him. And you know, Jesus Christ emphasized this rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Our Lord said, come unto me. Shouted, come unto me. All who are weary, you are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Just come. Prophet Isaiah understood it very well. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. He says, and thou wilt keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on thee. You see, it wasn't the fact that Israel was not doing this that gave them rest. It is not enough rest, as God defined it, was not in the fact that they were not walking like this. It was in the fact that in that year, or in those 2 years, they would steady their minds on who? God. So in the Jubilee, there is a demand that you focus more on God. In the Jubilee, you are expected to slow down. You see, this Lagos, I pity Lagosians. I don't know. I pity Lagosians. When I was pastoring the church, anytime we meet in church, they're always looking at us. The only day my members look fresh was when we were on public holiday and then we called the meeting. And then maybe the second day of the public holiday, we had a meeting in church and they come. You know, they would just be looking so beautiful, so refreshed. I said, so you people can be fine like this. But call them to church during the week and they are coming at 9 p.m. You're having a meeting. They will look like people that they will, like a sack of rice. You need to slow down. We need to slow down. They say, hey, rat race, rat race. Let me tell you the truth about the rat race. You have not heard the secret, but I'll tell you the secret tonight. You don't tell anybody. You see, the rat race that is going on, the thing about it is that even if you win, you come out at the top, you are still a rat. Did you catch that? You didn't catch it. In the rat race, this rat race that everybody's running, even if you come out first, you are a rat, you are still a rat. It is a rat race. You didn't catch it. Whether you come first or you come last, as long as you are running the rat race, you are a rat. Someone was sharing with me of a young man, a young professional. She was heartbroken. Probably they had worked back when she was in the insurance. And the young man is now Oga. And he sat in the office and he just sat on this big Oga's chair and just died. That's the way people die cheaply in Lagos now. And then they will bring the corpse to church. And the funniest thing is that they will bring pamphlets and they will say, Awon Baba Awa. And I used to ask Awon Baba Tani at 42, 43. People are dying at such ages and we are comfortable. We are now saying they have joined the Saint Transfer. They are now older than us. Awon Baba Awa. Who are they older than? Go to the village. You will see 95 still going to the farm. 102. Still going for town meeting. Nobody are helping them. See, I want Baba Awa. You know, I want to wa lo si. Bololo. People are dying cheaply. But why is it that we can't find rest? Why is it difficult to find rest? What is it that makes it difficult to find rest? And I want to talk about some. I don't know whether any will touch you. But you know, tonight, God, just know that if you can't forget everything, remember that God wants to give you rest. God wants to give you rest. The first thing that the Lord laid on my mind is doubt and unbelief. In fact, he kept me on this for a very long time. And I was afraid that this can actually make a whole sermon itself. Doubt and unbelief. When you are full of doubt and unbelief, you cannot rest. When you are full of doubts and unbelief, you cannot rest. Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt and took them through the Red Sea, consumed the armies of Egypt, and God brought them through 40, how many days? How many? Was it 7 days? And they got to the promised land. And Moses sent some young men and said, go spy the land. And they went into the promised land, that beautiful land that they've heard so much about, to be given to them on a platter of gold. And they sent spies. And those young men went in, 12 of them, I believe, each according to the tribes. And they went into the land and they spied the land 40 days. They were in that land mingling with the people in the nation. And they spent so much time in that place. You can equate it to America. Because for people like me who live in Nigeria, America, when we were growing up, they told us America, if you go to America, the roads had gold. So when one of my classmates in Form Pamai 3, Dapo Oyedele, the son of Georges, Mr. White, when he went to America and came back, all of us were his friends. They said, yo, ba mu gold wa, what he done, wa get there. Bangi. You know children now. And even those that used to fight him became his friends. Because he was going to America. You can liken it to that kind of aspiration. A beautiful place like that. God had given, was going to give them on a platter of gold. And they went in and came back. And the Bible says this was their report to Moses. The land is actually flowing with milk and honey. The grapes and the fruits of that land, they are enormous. Amazing. This is it. They ate it for 40 days. They ate it for 40 days. They said, this is it. The land is beautiful, wonderful, all the food. And then Joshua and Caleb, they said, come, let's go, Israel. Let's go and take it. The Lord is with us. Their God has forsaken them. Their strength has left them. But God is on our side. Let's go and take it. Then they tell, no. And the Bible said they began to spread rumors. They began to spread disaffection. They began to spread false news. They said that land consumes the people. It destroys the people that live there. That land there, the people that live there, they are giants. I'm not a contradiction. They are giants. So the sons of Anak, we saw them there. We saw them. Sons of Anak, we saw them there. They began to spread false news. And the Bible tells me that if you go to Numbers, was it 14? Verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. In their tent, they were all wailing. And Moses was hearing them. And God was hearing them. They cursed the day they came out of Egypt, that God freed them from Egypt. They cursed the man of God. The Bible says, Moses and Aaron lied before the people, and the people were ready to stone them. And God told Moses, he said, step back. I'm going to destroy these people, and I'll make a nation greater than them out of you. And God begged for Israel. Go to verse 20. Moses begged for Israel. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, according to your pleading. Continue. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. You know, that was the assignment God wanted to give them, to spread the glory of God at all the nations. He says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now, these 10 times they have tempted me after they were freed, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. God said, they will not come into the rest. He forgave them, but the consequences they still had to bear. That is the place of justice in the love of God. God forgave them. Their identity restored as his people, but he said they will not see that rest. If you go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, makes us to understand that we also must be careful about the better rest. Do you understand? The Bible makes us to understand that Joshua took them into that land. Joshua settled them in the land. That is the people that the younger ones. But after that, God still gave a promise to David that there is a rest. There is another rest. So there is a better rest that we are to come into, that God has for us if we trust in, or put our hope in Christ. But he said, but we must be careful so that by rebellion, by doubt, we will not do what? By lack of faith, unbelief, we will not lose that rest. You know what thing that I saw in this study as I was studying on this, I discovered that God called doubt and unbelief, he called it rebellion. You made a promise to me, and I don't believe you, and I'm doubting you, and then you say it's rebellion. Why? I was asking, why is it rebellion? You promised them a land, and they doubted you. They don't believe you that they can enter it. So what's the rebellion then? You see, and God told me, he said, anytime I pronounce a destiny over you, anytime I pronounce a promise to you, and you doubt it, and you don't believe me, you are in a state of rebellion. Let me ask you, what has God promised you? Maybe, let me tell you, a young lady died. I think it was this year she died. No, it was last year. This time last year. That young lady had a mother who was a godly widow. She came to church, was a member of the church. The girl was not in the church. The girl was, she was with one boy somewhere, very far place. She was just giving birth for the boy. Then one day, there was an issue where they were, and she ran with one of her friends and brought one of her friends. She remembered that her mother has a church. And she brought her friend to the church. Her friend had a problem also. And she handed her friend over to me. That her friend is still a member of that church today. I'm talking about Victory Baptist Church. Aja. And she handed her friend, brought her friend to church. But she didn't stay. One of the days that we were together talking, I asked this young lady, as I was talking with her, you know, I wasn't praying, I wasn't fasting. The Lord just said, I should ask her, you have a repeated dream. I asked her, you always have a repeated dream. She said, she was shaking. She said, yes. How do you know? I said, I don't know. The Lord just said, I should ask you. I said, what is that repeated dream? She said that she used to dream that every time this dream would be coming over and over, that she will see herself in black gown, white wig, in a court where people are, and she will be, you know, presenting before somebody like a judge, and that this dream will be coming over and over. This is somebody that doesn't have school cert. Then I asked her, how old are you? She said 22 or 23. Then I said, there's still hope. That is God talking to you, telling you that there is a plan for your life. Do you know what she did in my small office? She looked at the two or three children and she laughed. She laughed. What is this one saying? Can't you see? I have already wasted my life. Look at children now. At 22, I already have three. I think she even had, she lost one. She would have had four. And I will look for her every time. I will send message to her. I will remind her there is a destiny plan of God over your life. She kept on jumping from one man to the other. At the end of the day, she died. That is the terror and the error, the problem that can come from rejecting the plan of God. I was giving her examples of friends of mine who their wives did not go to school. But because they knew that God had a plan, they took it up. Even after having children, they went to school and this thing. I told her, my wife, we were married when my wife was still in school. You can go to school. If that is what God has been showing you and this thing refuses to stop coming, you can thank God. You might suffer, but it will come through. But she could not believe God for it. She could not believe the man of God either. What has God promised you? And you are doubting, you are looking at the parameters, you are looking at the issues, indices, you are looking around you, and you find it difficult to believe God. It is like rebelling against Him, you know. But God will bring you out of that rebellion and bring you to His rest tonight in Jesus' name. I said God will bring you into His rest tonight. Israel didn't enter that rest. 40 years they were wandering in the wilderness because they doubted God. 40 years. Such a terrible price to pay. Another reason why people cannot find rest is fear. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You see, the spirit of fear is a slave spirit. When daddy comes, when the owner of the house, the great man of the house comes, the slaves will begin to tremble. Ogasco, Ogambo, Ogambo, Ogambo. They will be shaking. What will the children be doing? Daddy, Oyoyo, Daddy. What a contradiction. In the same house, some people are singing, Daddy, Oyoyo, Daddy. They are running forward. Some people are running backward. Ogasdi, Ogasdi, Ogasdi. Clean the place. The spirit of fear is the spirit of the bondman. Bondage. And the scripture says, God has not called us out, that we will receive the spirit of slavery again, the spirit of fear. When you were called into Christ, you received the spirit of adoption as sons. You know, something scared me when I was pastoring Victory. There was a year I was ministering one day, and God told me I should call that people that have the spirit of fear. You are afraid of something. You are always afraid of one particular thing. Hey, my children, hey, can you come? Hey, can you come? There's something that keeps you afraid, that the number of those people should stand up. I said, spirit of fear, okay. I only were okay. She be Victory. Then I made that call. And when I saw the people standing up, then I became afraid. I became afraid. Under my watch, this number of people, afraid of one thing or the other. No wonder they can't come for night vigil. They are afraid. Something can catch us on the way. There's one woman, beautiful woman. She told me, Pastor, do you know that I'm always afraid? After 7, she doesn't go out in their house. They don't go out anymore. What a captivity. So she can't go for home fellowship. By 7, they don't go out anymore. She says she's afraid, oh, the armed robbers will come. She's always afraid the armed robbers will come. She's always afraid. Do you know that the day armed robbers came, she was the one they entered with, and it was not yet 7 o'clock. The spirit of fear is a gateway. The spirit of fear is a gateway. Do you know the kind of gateway it is? You know, when you have locked the door, if you have a door that is bent, and you have locked the door and there's still a hole, rats, cockroaches, they are passing in and out. You think you have locked the door, but you have not locked the door. The spirit of fear is that spirit that when you, after you have shut your door and locked the key, it still keeps the door ajar. Job said, that which I feared most has come upon me. He was a man of God, though, but he confessed that he had fears. Fear will not allow us to rest. Hello, 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 hello. How are you doing? How are you? But mommy, you just called like 10 minutes ago now. I hope you're okay. Are you okay? You're okay. Fear. So many of us cannot rest because of fear. We are so afraid. You know, the man that is afraid has died before death has come. You know that when the father of John the Baptist was prophesying, he said that the Messiah comes to deliver us from the fear of death. Sir, what does he mean by that? He said, actually, many of us, we fear the death. The fear of death is killing us more than death. When they ask death, he said, it's not me, oh. They are just accusing me. Is that the fear they are afraid for me is what is killing them. They are afraid that death will come is killing them. Death has not come. But the fear that death will come, death is still at home eating. The people are already dying because they are afraid. Fear is what is killing them, not death. You did not, when you became Christians, you did not receive the spirit of fear. Because you already died in Christ. Let me tell you, what can you fear more than death? But as people who are already dead in Christ, you don't threaten a dead man with death. Quickly, because time is going, let us talk about some other things that make us not to rest, apart from fear. Greed. Lust, materialism, those are the unholy trinity that will not allow Nigerians in particular to rest. Greed, lust, and materialism, I call them the unholy trinity that will not allow Nigerians to rest. Unfortunately, church is also indicted. We are so carried away with competing materially. that many homes have been fractured because of the naira. And for some, it is their health that has been traded for the naira. You know, many times we are killing ourselves not because of our needs, but because of our wants. Overdriving ourselves, going into overdrive because of our wants, not our needs. When you sincerely sit down, you with you alone, and ask yourself, is it that I don't have 3 square meals? Is it that I don't have a cloth over my body? Is it that I don't have the basics of life? We have it. Why are we killing ourselves? It's because we are competing. You know, one of the things that amazes me most is that Christians are also competing. They will kill themselves to pay school fees. You know, I had members at the point who were killing. When they want to do anything, so they can't give money. It's not that they don't want to give. They don't have it because their neighbor's children are in Canada or London or America, and their own two must be there. How can his own be there? Even if the man doesn't want to do it, his wife will start disturbing him. Ojojumo tell me, I think Mrs. Labajaban Soro, she's always talking about their children in London. Kunle too must go to London. No. Kunle must go to school. My God is a God of daddy. I want my shisha overtime. The daddy will now be working overtime. No wonder some daddies will just die like that. And then mommy will now be, why are you weeping? You join together to kill yourself. Is it everybody's child that must go to school in London, America? Where is the place of asking God, God, what is your purpose over this child? Many of us have children that should school in Nigeria. Some of us have sent them to America. And the one that should school in America, some of us have sent them to Togo. Why? Because we don't even ask God anymore. We just take decisions based on what our friends are doing and how our ego can be massaged. And then we cannot rest. God will give you rest too. Look, I always tell people when they see me, they say, Pastor, you are looking so fresh. I say, when you are not working for 1 year and you are eating, you will look fresh. Overweight gone. I'm in my jubilee. 1 year. You know, let me tell you the truth. When it was time for me to leave Victory, when I began to sense that the time to leave is at hand, and I was struggling with it, people did not know that I was struggling with it as much as I was struggling with it. I would spend many nights thinking, what will the family eat? If I take this move, what will the family eat? Kilamoje. How will they go to school? I'm working now. We're still struggling. And then I am saying that I'm throwing in the towel that God said. Which God said? The day I gave them my letter, this woman didn't know. Even her didn't know. I read it from the pulpit. I read it from the pulpit too. Because if I don't do it like that, we will still be recycling the same story. And then one day everything will break. And then they will say, and he said God told you to leave. He should have left too. Oh my show. He should have left. Campaign after election. But I thank God because in that 1 year plus, we have not lacked. We have not gone hungry. We have not suffered. We are doing better. Because in the year of Jubilee, God meets your need. You see, there is a place where there is a question there in Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 20. Is somebody there? And if he shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. He says, then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. The threefold blessing of God, the threefold increase of God. If you will trust God in the year of Jubilee, he said he will feed you in that year, he will feed you the next year, and the next year that you are planting, the 51st year that you are planting, because you cannot eat the harvest, after all, you have to wait for it to harvest. He will still feed you that year. 3 years in a row without working. He said he will feed you. That was what God promised Israel. But you see, The people too must. How do you say that in English? There must be self-control. There must be managed consumption. Oh, we are a wasteful consumer. And that is why we generate the amount of waste we generate as a nation. Because the more your consumption, the more your waste. Quickly, another thing that is close to that one is over-ambition. Over-ambition will not allow people to rest. It's not that it's bad to be ambitious in God, but when you become over-ambitious, you will overdrive yourself. I have seen people who thought by being overdriving themselves, they will get to the pinnacle of the company, not knowing that it is God that upholds some and casts some down. And then when they have done all that they could do, and they have broken their home, broken their health, broken their wealth, broken everything, they will now give them retirement and buy them one solid, beautiful wristwatch. So your retirement wristwatch. Congratulations. You served the company well. A fantastic letter to support it. And that is how people have become disoriented. I have seen it before. I've pastored about 15 years plus now. I have seen disorientation. You served us very well. They will have a banquet dinner. If it's a very good person. If it's not, they'll just do cocktail for you. If you are vengeful, if you are unforgiving, you won't rest. Oh. The man that spends his time planning revenge can never rest. Because when the enemy is asleep, you are still planning. Oh my God. When you are unforgiving, when you are vengeful, while the enemy has gone, the person that hurt you has gone their way, you are still suffering the hurt. You know, it is one thing that they've already hurt you. It is another thing that you are spending your life energy hurting yourself. The first one you could not control. But the other one, you can control. You can't control somebody hurting you or not hurting you. But you can control you not hurting yourself. And many people are not resting because I must have my own. What she did to me, I will deal with her. I will deal with her. You know, do you know why God told Israel that they should not take revenge? Do you know why? It is because it is idolatry. You are making an idol of yourself. The only person that has the privilege of revenge is the person that can apply vengeance equitably. That is to say, based on what was done to you and all surpassing knowledge of everything that surrounds the situation, he will give judgment that is totally equitable to the measure of what was done to you. Am I using too much grammar or do you understand? He will not go lower and he will not go above in dispensing judgment. You know, human beings, because we lack all information, we lack all knowledge, we lack all capacity to even reason through rightly, we cannot judge perfectly. So the only person that fits that equation is God. He is the one that has the purview of vengeance. And so he told Israel, vengeance is mine. I will dispense. When you decide and insist that you must carry out that activity, you are saying you are God. You are pushing God off his throne, his seat of vengeance, and you are taking his place. Do you know what God told Israel? Was it Zephaniah? He said, when I am punishing my people, and anybody is laughing and say, hey, good, good. He said, I will turn and punish them. So when somebody has offended you and you want to exercise vengeance, and you push God off his throne, God and God judging the person, you that you pushed him off the throne. Pastor, let's do demonstration. Please come.
Again.
I am God, but that is not true. It's just for demonstration. I am God. I am his God. this person, maybe they are friends or something, and then pastor, offend him. I don't know how you want to offend him. Offend him. Pastor, you are a Christian, though. The way you are offending people, you are a Christian, though. You don't know how to offend people. At least when you have two teeth, you remove two teeth. Okay, no, please, please. Okay, pastor has offended him. Okay, pastor, now, he says, God says, your God, he says, he will revenge. But you are very angry. You are deeply angry. And you have to take a decision. Whether to allow your God, who owns the power of vengeance, to fight for you, or you want to fight for yourself. Now, God has, I'm standing now as God in the seat of vengeance. You have a choice to make. To allow me stand as the one that takes vengeance, or you want your revenge. Which one do you want?
I'm still thinking. I will take my revenge.
Hallelujah. You see, he needs to take his revenge. He has to stand in the place of vengeance to take his revenge. And for him to do that, he has to push off the one who owes the seat of vengeance. Now, immediately he has pushed me off now. Because this is God. Remember, we are talking about God. Amen. God of all the earth. Now, who is he looking at now? Who is he looking at? The primary offender? Who? Do you see? Do you see what happens to us? Please have your seat, sirs. Thank you, sirs. A vengeful and unforgiving person cannot rest. Now, this one, I won't say a word about it. Liars cannot rest. If you agree with me, let me see your hand. This is a Baptist church. If you have lied before, you know, you need to think up another lie to protect that lie. And then another lie to... You cannot... Even if you rest physically, you can't rest mentally if you are a liar. You must keep on thinking, oh, if you are here today and you can't rest, maybe you are a liar. You lied the other day. You told us that your child is now in Germany. We didn't ask you. Then now you have to tell us another story. What is all this? Who asked you? Even if the child is in Akure, what's our business? If you love the world, 1 John chapter 2. If you love the world, now let me explain what loving the world is. If you are ruled by the fashion trends of the world, if you are ruled by the determinations of the world, the fashion determinations, it could be in dressing, it could be in cars, it could be in anything, you are carried away with what is the world saying now. Should I share this one? I complained to one brother. Brother Wally, I said, all my suits I've given out. The one I have now, they are not even one or two. Even one. I went to America. I forgot the trouser. I brought the jacket. Then Uncle Wally brought his friend. Uncle Wally is a young man in our church. Very nice fashionista. He's going to marry in 2 weeks' time. So he brought one of his... The tailor was showing for all of his groomsmen and everything. So the tailor came and measured me. They said, we'll make one for pastor. I said, I beg, make it something I can wear. You know me. I'm old school. The pastor, he said, okay, pastor, it won't be tight. It's the fitted we are wearing now, but we won't make it fitted. He said, we'll just measure you. It will be okay, you know, too, but nice. And they measured me. They said, this is just to measure me. And they measured me. The day they brought all the groomsmen clothes and the best man and the man's punk, and they brought my own too. And I look at the thing, and the thing was so tight. It was the one I wore on Sunday. I can't carry my leg like this. So when you see me going like Benny Hinn, it's because I could not carry my leg up. It was so tight. To say hallelujah, you just do your hand like this. You can't go beyond this. You cannot. This one that I'm wearing here is Lagos Island. Look at me. That one, I could just do like this. Huh? I say these people have gone to waste clothes again. Listen. If you love the world, you are ruled by the fashion moves of the world, you will never rest. Why? Fashion is always changing. It changes with the seasons. It changes with fashion trend, the commerce. It changes with the commerce, with the economy drive, and all those things. There are a lot of manipulations that make sure that fashion is not static. If you are caught into fashion, you can never rest. Because if they are wearing low heel now, you have to buy low heel. And then 3 months' time, they have moved to high heel, then you have to buy high heel. And then when they move to platform, you have to go platform. And when they go to pointed, you have to go to pointed. Then when they go to slippers, you will never rest. It is not a cause. It is the demand of fashion. And then when you now get to your wardrobe, you can't rest. Because you have to be cleaning and cleaning. Cleaning and rearranging. The whole place, you cannot rest. I am not talking to the women, I'm talking to the men. Listen, fashion, the love of the world, I'm just using that as an example. It could be so many other things. If your mind is so caught in the world system, this world system, you won't rest. Because this world does not leave room for rest. Was it 1 John chapter 2? It talks about it. I'm supposed to be. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, they abide forever. So ask yourself, what has taken over your mind in the world that cannot allow you to rest? Quickly, rush here, begin to get ready. If you are wicked, you will never rest. I have seen people come into my office and shed tears and say, why is everything? And the truth is, the only solution is that they should stop being wicked. A wicked person can never rest. Somebody shared a testimony with me this week. He said, an uncle, he went home to the village, a big man in Lagos, middle age, achieved. He went to the village, they called him, a cousin called him and said, look, your uncle, one of your uncles is like his man on the way to go. He's been calling the children. Come, maybe you come and see him and just encourage him before the man goes. He went home. This was an uncle who lived in his dad's house when they were growing up. He said when he got there, he saw the man on the bed. The man cannot stand anymore. The man had all kinds of sores and all kinds of air and dirty and everything. His diaper had not been changed for 3-4 days. And this man, he said, when the man saw him, the man burst into tears. He said this was an uncle that people feared because he used to practice all kinds of wickedness and charms. He said the man burst into tears and said, you are the one that came to visit me. And you brought things. He said he went with things, blood tonic, all those things that you take to someone that is sick. He said the man started weeping. And the man started confessing. He said, when you were young and I was living in your father's house, that's my box of magic. I used to try magic on you. He said, I used to try magic on you. I will do enchantments. I'll practice all those things on you. And the man started confessing to him. He said he called in the barbers, they cleaned him up, he called in doctors, they looked at him, the man, they treated him, only for him to be getting calls that the man is like, he's rising from the bed now. He's riding from the bed, the man that has to go. He said he's rising now, he's now asking for food. Somebody that has not eaten a long time, he started giving him food. They said they need to take him to, he's rising now, he wants to go to the hospital. They took him to the hospital, nobody to answer. He said he called the doctor in the place and said, doctor, please can you help me? The doctor attended to the man. The man is now walking around everywhere. The man that was on the way to go. The man called him. He said he didn't pick. So when the man finally picked, the man said, look, I am calling you now to say prayers. To pray for you. He said, my children didn't come. My children refused to come. I asked him, where are his children? He said, he has children in America. He has in Lagos. He has others, other ways. He refused to come. A man that practices wickedness. But you see, and I told him, I said, when he was trying the enchantments on you and they didn't work, he would be angry. He didn't know that God was having mercy on him, because the man that God will use to save his life was the one he was trying to kill. Are you here and you practice wickedness? I had a pastor who Pastor Tom Takpatore, he used to talk about the fact that church made people practice spiritual witchcraft. It sounds like an oxymoron, it sounds contradictory. But church people practice wickedness, spiritual witchcraft, or Christian witchcraft, as he used to call it. I said, pastor, it doesn't go together. I said, yes, that is why it is confounding when you find it in church. If you are a wicked person, God will let you know. But the truth is that there is a commandment in the scripture. The wicked cannot have rest. No matter the number of trumpets you blow at the Jubilee, a wicked person cannot share in the rest. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when he cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and death. There is no peace, saith my God. It is God that said it to the wicked. Now, if you are a child of God, if you are a child of God and you are fervent and faithful, you might be afflicted or persecuted for the Lord's sake. And it might appear also that your rest has been stolen. But for that one, Jesus has made that assurance. He said, I have overcome the world. If you are a child of God that is being persecuted, and it seems that for the moment your rest has been snatched, there is a promise. He gives perfect peace. He gives rest to the weary. He will give you rest tonight.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org. We look forward to having you back next week.